You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Momootsi, alongside me as always, the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong. How's your evening been, sir? Late night there for you in LA, 10:30 now.
Late night, however, great games. Very interesting. I mean, the playoffs are so interesting, and we're going to get into it, but which is very interesting, and fantastic. Let's get into it.
We're going to get into it, BJ, because it's 6:30 in the morning, and I've been looking at my stats for the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, I looked at my stats yesterday through the first six games of the NBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And through the first six games, I recorded 8 podcasts. I watched, how many games is that? 19 games, and then 3 more tonight. 2 YouTube videos, and I was trying to do YouTube videos every day, but staying up till 8 in the morning every day is killing me, so I've not been able to do more. I found 4 new gray hairs, and I've currently had a headache for now 3 days that won't go away. So I'm about 1 week away from asking BJ if I can crash on his couch for the rest of the playoffs, because I am cooked. So let's get straight into this.
Okay.
Milwaukee Bucks down 2-1 to the Indiana Pacers. They went into Indiana, lost a close one in overtime, 121 to 118. Tyrese Halliburton hit the game-winning floater and won to seal the deal. Interesting. It is ironic. They subbed out Dame Lillard for the final possession to have Patrick Beverley in there for his defense. And Patrick Beverley ends up being the one who gets beat off the dribble by Tyrese and ends up fouling him, giving away the and-one. And Patrick Beverley actually said a while ago now that he's keeping the receipts on Tyrese Halliburton. And since then, Tyrese has hit 2 game winners against him. But yeah, great win for the Pacers. They now take a 2-1 lead. Giannis has got no sign of coming back. And Doc Rivers says that Dame's Achilles injury is playing up. So very worrying signs over there in Milwaukee, and Chris Middleton dealing with an injury. If we go and look at the stat sheet, Tyrese Halliburton, triple-double, 18 points, 16 assists, 10 rebounds. Miles Turner led the team with 29 points. He hit 4 threes. Pascal Siakam, quiet night for him, going by his standards this far in the series. He only had 17. Nembhard had 16. Nesmith had 13. And over for the Milwaukee Bucks, Dame Lillard had 28. Chris Middleton was huge. He had 42 points. That injury didn't seem to be bothering him. And he, in fact, hit an insane three-pointer that sent the game into overtime. And Dame Lillard, we talked about in the last episode or a couple episodes ago about him struggling in the fourth quarter. He had 10 points in the fourth quarter this time. Doc Rivers did a better job of managing his minutes, whether that was Doc Rivers doing that or whether that was concerns about his Achilles, we don't know. But Dame's fourth quarter was pretty good. It's just a shame in overtime, the Milwaukee Bucks, well, it's a shame for them. I mean, I'm not mad at them. No one except Chris Middleton scored a basketball in overtime. He scored all 7 points for the Bucks. What was your takeaway from this one, BJ?
It's been fascinating to watch the playoffs. And I don't even know if that's the correct word, fascinating. But, you know, I just keep being reminded of how important it is to get home court advantage. And when you look at a game like tonight, Indiana, I mean, they came out like gangbusters. And they came out playing well, especially early. Their bench, they get like double digits, you know, contribution from Obi Toppin off their bench. And their guy, I think all of their starters, Mo, I think they, you know, they were double digits.
Yep, all of them. And 15 from Obi and yes. 6 from Shepherd and 7 from McConnell.
And you just, that's why it's so important to get play the regular season. Those games matter. They count. And you never need everything you can get. It's so hard to win, and especially in the playoffs. And they need it tonight. They needed overtime to win against a team minus Giannis. So, you know, great job by the Pacers. Fantastic game. I mean, it was one of more exciting games.
Mm-hmm. It's just stupid that they start the Dallas Clippers game whilst the overtime is going on for the Pacers Bucks game. It's just day games starting at the same time just annoys me no end.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to. I mean, it's. I mean,
you don't have to.
In the morning. Well, it's in the morning there. Imagine if they didn't. I mean, well, you'd be up to 10 o'clock in the morning if they
pretty much not every day anyway.
Yeah, so
just at this point, I'd rather just watch the games and suffer even more.
Yeah, but it was a great game, great win. The crowd was terrific, and you can see, you know, when you're at home, you you have a chance. It doesn't mean you'll play better, but it gives you a chance. And great, great game. It was a thrilling game, to say the least. They're very exciting. And I'm excited to see game four now, because this was a really good game. I mean, it's a must game for Milwaukee. So you know it's going to be played with great intensity. And if you go down 3-1, it's going to be tough to come back from. But if you can, you know, 2-2, now you're in the game. You know, now it's anyone's game.
The highlight for me in this one, the Indiana Pacers came up with 19 offensive rebounds. That's 32 second chance points. And they just crushed the Milwaukee Bucks out on the glass. Just effort play after effort play. They destroyed them in fast break points. The same strategy as the previous game, which we discussed in a previous episode, if you heard that, about pressure in full court. And it feels like Indiana figured something out. It's just going to be a question of whether they can sustain this through the next round. But let's move swiftly on to the LA Clippers losing on the road in Dallas 101-90 to also go down 2-1 against the Dallas Mavericks. And an interesting game, BJ, a very interesting game. Now, Luka Doncic, by his standards, had a bad game. 7 of 25 from the field, 3 of 14 from downtown. But he was still somehow the best player on the court. He finished with 22 points. Kyrie had 21. But over for the Clippers, Kawhi, the injury still troubling him in a major way. He only had 9 points, and he did not look right when he was out there. Paul George. Now, BJ, remember when we were talking about my takes on Rudy Gobert and how I've changed my mind? And I joked at the end of the game about needing Paul George to have a huge performance in the playoffs so that I can change my mind on him as well. Well, he definitely did not hear that, because he finished with just 7 points and 5 fouls. So shout out to Paul George. Russell Westbrook had 1 point, 0 from 7 from the field. He had 1 point and 1 ejection. But I like that ejection. We'll talk about that in a sec. Zubac did his thing, 8 of 11, 19 points. And James Harden, 21 points. This is tough now for the Clippers, because Kawhi clearly isn't the Kawhi Leonard that we know. Having said that, Luka Doncic also picked up an injury. He left the game and came back in, and he's experiencing some stiffness in his knee ahead of the next game. He's already said it going into game four. So with both of the best players potentially hobbled or injured for the next game, it's going to come down to the others. But what did you see in this one tonight? Because the way that the Dallas Mavericks just destroyed them, if I'm going to be completely honest, since kind of midway through the second quarter, they took the lead and they did not look back. It doesn't look to me like there's much hope, because the Mavericks shot 25% from behind the arc. And if they can still win whilst doing that, you're in trouble if you're the Clippers.
Well, I thought I was watching an and-one video during the course of this game. I mean, you would know something like this. How many dunks the Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks had 10 dunks in the first half, which I believe was some sort of record.
Yeah. You know, it was, it really, I mean, I was watching the game, and clearly, you know,
the most dunks a team something in the playoffs has had over the last 25 years per ESPN stats and info.
Okay. I mean, I'm just watching the game, and I was like, how many dunks? I mean, it was just dunk after dunk after dunk. It was like alley-oop after alley-oop. I didn't know what was going on. I was ready for some music to come on as the game was going on. And then we got,
he's
a little
heating
video
up.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Dallas has figured out something. I went to game one, and I told you after the game, I said, this is a setup game, because they're not going to – the Dallas Mavericks – you know, they're not going to play this bad again in for the rest of this series. Luka played, you know, he wasn't like Luka by Luka's standards. I mean, the guy was one assist away from a triple double, and we're saying, just an okay game for him. And I just remember saying after the game, the guy had like 30 something points, and it was a bad, really bad game. I mean, he played maybe one of his worst playoff games, but
yeah, he had 22 tonight.
Yeah, but he overall, you know what it was? You know what I liked about what he's doing is, well, he's taking on this challenge on the defensive end, and I respect that.
Absolutely.
Now, well, that to me is all that matters. The shooting, yeah, whatever. But he's taking on the challenge, and when your best player takes on the challenge, everything else just falls in place. So, I mean, They clearly look like the better team. Well, they clearly look like the better team.
For me, Daniel Gafford was amazing. PJ Washington had an amazing game. Derek Jones Jr. brought the energy. And I love the little back and forth. PJ Washington folding his arms and staring down the Clippers bench. And then Russell Westbrook getting himself ejected for pushing Luka Doncic and trying to punch PJ Washington. And PJ Washington just laughing in his face. Now, people think that Russell Westbrook had an awful game. If you actually watch the game at the start, Russell Westbrook's defense and his ability to get out in transition was the spark plug to keep the Clippers in the game. And him getting ejected like that is a veteran move, because he is watching his team get absolutely destroyed in the second half in a crucial game on the road. And he just wanted to ignite some sort of energy, some sort of heart, some sort of passion in his squad. And it's really concerning to me, BJ. This is the concerning part I have. Not one of his teammates went and stood up for him in that little skirmish. It was just Russ against the Mavericks, which is a little bit worrying. What was your take on it?
Well, they were all, in my opinion, you know, like there's a skirmish where there's a legit. I mean, clearly, you know, look, I love Russell. However, this just seemed like I'm just trying to find a way to get myself integrated into the game. There seemed to be a huge disconnect throughout the course of the game for the LA Clippers, for whatever the case may be. I don't know. Is Kawhi hurt? Is Paul George?
Paul George foul trouble. He's been in foul trouble all series long, to be fair. Kawhi's definitely hurt.
Okay. Something is going on here. Something is going on. There was a lot of like unnecessary stuff going on, you know, like a little, but you know, you expect that. But it just seemed like the Clippers weren't into the game. Now, for whatever the case may be, you know, first game on the road, I don't know, maybe the room service didn't come on time or today in the hotel. Hey, maybe my five-star accommodations were, you know, or I don't know.
It's not as nice as the hotels in Cancun, I can assure you that.
Yeah, yeah, something was going on there.
They got that to look forward to.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm all about a little, you know, ruffle the feathers a little bit. I'm okay with what happened with Russell. But now I want to see that energy go towards what matters most, winning the game. And Russell was just trying to find something. And it's going to get a little physical out there. It's going to get a little, you know, this is the big boys now. You know, this is what it is. So I respect it. However, I'm expecting a great, great effort to win game four. Now, that's what I'm really expecting. I mean, it's two game fours for sure I'm looking forward to. There's Dallas Mavericks, and I'm really looking forward to see how the Indiana Pacers respond.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if this team, the Pacers, if they can finish now. You know, is this for real? I mean, give Chris Middleton, like, I didn't even know he had that in him at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
To come up with 40 points. I mean, he made some big shots tonight. I mean, he was like Chris Middleton of old. I mean, that's the one we've been waiting on. I mean,
questionable to even play with an injury.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looked fantastic. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to say this. The Clippers are experienced. They have enough firepower from their team to win. They're well coached. And I think it's going to be great. Now, as I look at this series, you know, I thought Luka and Kawhi would cancel each other out. And I thought the difference in the series would be it would come down to Paul George.
Kyrie.
And Kyrie Irving. You know, I think I mentioned that to you. And Kyrie, you know, if that's your number two now, right? If you want to say he's a number two, right? I think it's just 1 and 1A, but if you want to say he's number two just for the sake of the argument, they've got a little rhythm going now. And they got a nice balance. I like how J. Kidd play those guys together. Talking about utilizing Kyrie Irving and Luka. They got a really nice flow. And right now, Kyrie is quietly having a really, really nice series. I mean, he's been steady, Mo. I mean, he's been really, really steady.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the stretches where Luka's not in the game.
Yeah, and that's what I was just about to say, Mo. So you and I, now we've been working together for so long, we just take the sentences right out of each other. And Kyrie, I mean, well, when Luka's down, Kyrie goes to it. And to me, that's been the difference in the game. Kyrie has been consistently the best player on the floor when Luka's not on
And I
the floor.
also want to shout out to Derek Lively, who had his mother pass away just before the series began. And the fact that he's out there and performing at a high level, all
Yeah.
credit to that. One of the youngest players in the
Our best,
NBA.
our
And
best, yes, our
if it
best,
wasn't
best
for Wemby
offensive.
and Chet being so amazing, we'd all be talking about how great his rookie season has been because, he's been sensational. But now let's talk about the Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns had home court tonight and they lost embarrassingly once again. Now, BJ, 126 to 109, Timberwolves take the win. I want to know if I was imagining things. Did the Suns get a 24-second violation after a timeout? The one time in the game where
I'm
you're
not gonna go
supposed to
there.
draw something up.
I'm not gonna go there. I'm just gonna continue to marvel at this young man, Mr. Anthony Edwards. This young man, Mo, is just, he's a pleasure to watch. He's just a pleasure. I mean, he has this. First of all, he has a sense of humor, so you gotta like that.
Oh, he's hilarious.
He's I mean, he really is. I mean, you gotta love his, you have to love his personality. He plays with such confidence. I mean, he just takes on the challenge, and he responds. I mean, well, now he's like the circus. He's just taking his show on the road now. He just takes his show from place to place, and he shows up. And he has a certain style and flair that you
Do
just
you
kind
know
of
what he
like.
just said on SportsCenter?
What do you say?
He said, "I just want to kill everything that's in front of me. That's the main thing, pretty much. That's all there is to it."
Yeah,
Now, that's
and
a
there you
killer
go.
mentality.
And there
I
you
just
go.
wish that the Timberwolves ownership had a good relationship with Kevin Garnett because Kevin Garnett is the perfect mentor for this young man. And if you had KG courtside at all these games or KG working out the Timberwolves, it would be unbelievable, those two together. You know, if you ever wish that you could take a player from a franchise's history and put them there today, KG and Ant-Man together would have been the greatest thing you could ever see.
I mean, put him on. When you said that, I was like, no, I don't want to put KG on the sideline. KG has to be on the court. I mean, if KG and Anthony Edwards, wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good because this young man, he is a, it's like a treat. You know, Mo, you say you'll pay to see someone to play.
Oh, yeah.
He is that type of talent. So, hats off to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, they're what, up 3-0 now?
3-0. Anthony Edwards had 36 points. And it was an interesting game because early on, all of the Timberwolves bigs had two fouls in the first quarter.
Right.
And looking at that, you would think, yeah, this is the one that the Phoenix Suns can get. And they just didn't. The Suns led the whole time and absolutely annihilated them.
I want to say this, Will. I want to say this. And I remember when they made this. I vaguely remember what we said when this trade was made with Gobert. But there weren't a lot of people high on this trade. But
No,
there weren't a lot of people.
I think it's because the way they played that first season, it was completely
Right.
different to how they play now. And everyone loves to be
Yeah.
like, this is what we always say is you can't, when do you judge a trade? Do you judge the trade the day it's made, the first season, the second season now, or if it's a trade involving draft picks? Because what if one of the draft picks that they give to Utah turns out being the next Michael Jordan in 2 years' time? And then in 2 years from now, we're going to say, oh, they lost the trade. So it's like impossible to judge trades like that. The first year, kind of figuring everything out, and Cat had an injury, and it's never smooth in the first year. But credit to the coaching staff and the team and the players, they really figure this out. They have the league's best defense, and someone, I'll give you guys a spoiler for Sunday's TV show that I'm on. They asked me to send them my list of top three contenders, and you guys know I've got the Denver Nuggets at number one. I got the Timberwolves at number two, because if there's anyone that can beat the Nuggets, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're the only team I see capable of taking out the reigning champs because they have the size, the athletes, and the defense to do it. I'm not saying they will do it, but I'm saying they're the only ones I see with potential to do it. And then I have myself sixth, third on the list. If they can take out the Nuggets for us, then we'll see what happens in the finals. But a fantastic defensive squad. And it's like, okay, cool. Jaden McDaniels gets in foul trouble. Okay, we're going to bring in Nickeil Alexander-Walker off the bench to be a pesky perimeter defender as well and just take his place. So, you know, I really don't think the Suns can have any answers in game four. They tried Bol Bol tonight. He got a few minutes. He scored a bucket. And a lot of people are thinking that would be the answer. I think, do you know what I want to see for the final game, BJ? I want him to start Isaiah Thomas just to give him, they're never going to win anyway. Just let Isaiah Thomas go out there and get some shots up, man. Why not? Just a feel-good factor. Why not?
Yeah, amid of all the ownership battles and things that are going on off the court there up there in Minnesota, which, you know, I don't want to get into here. You know, you guys can read about that. There's been a lot of distractions on the court, off the court. But I want to keep it on the court. And in particular, you know, we like to, you know, we call it like it is here. But I want to say this. You know, Tim Connolly, who was the former executive of the
Denver Nuggets.
And he had a front row seat every night for years to watch Mr. Jokic, back-to-back MVP. Tim Connolly drafted Jokic. You know, for the most part, he put together that team up there. And then they won a championship prior, you know, right? I think the first year he left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did something to me I thought was fascinating because I always like to watch former players or former executives when they compete against their current team because they know that team better than anyone.
Former coaches as well.
Yes, former coaches. And the first thing he did, like when Don Nelson, for instance, with that We Believe team in mm-hmm. Golden State when they beat Dallas, you know, because you can learn a lot, right? You can learn a lot. The first thing he did was he went against the grain. Instead of going small ball, he said, I'm going to try to put together two bigs because I know I got to play against Jokic. Now, everyone was like, that can't work. It's not going to work. Carl Anthony Towns, he was an all-star.
And credit to Carl Anthony Towns because the concern with that was Carl Anthony Towns can't guard on the perimeter. But yeah, he's done a pretty good job against Kevin Durant here.
Yes, yes. Carl Anthony Towns has been an all-star at the center position. So you convince an all-star now to go to another position, the power forward position. You bring in an all-star player, Rudy Gobert, and you put him at the center position, gives you an identity, and they patiently wait. Now, it wasn't smooth sailing. Now we want to take credit for it, but it wasn't smooth sailing in year one. A lot of times it looked a little awkward, and it looked like, wow, they gave up so much to get Rudy Gobert, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I want to say this. Tim Connolly went against the grain. And now Tim Connolly looks like, okay, I kind of saw your vision now of what this could be. And it allowed Anthony Edwards to evolve into this player now that we are without question, Mo. I mean, can we put this to bed now? He's without question the top five player in the NBA.
I ain't mad at that.
Now, you've
got to take Kevin Durant out of your top five now. Can we put that to bed?
I don't know who's in your top five.
Not Kevin Durant.
But Anthony Edwards, if he's not in your top five, I mean, we said this long ago. I don't know how long ago we said it, but Anthony Edwards is in. He is the real deal. He is a difference maker, and this young man affects the bottom line. So I want to give credit where credit is due. Those guys up there put together a really nice team, and they put themselves in position to compete. Now, that's what I got to say about this organization. They put themselves in position to compete. Now, clearly, it's a big task when you look at Mr. Jokic. I mean, Mr. Jokic is still, It's going to take more.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we preview the second round. Yeah.
But I want to give them credit.
Do the autopsy on the Phoenix Suns because they're in a tough position as well. But let's preview tonight's games. Sorry to cut you off, but I don't want them to miss out when we do the preview episode.
No, I don't want to miss out. But can I just say this before we move on?
Go ahead.
The Phoenix Suns, because we didn't spend a lot of time on.
Yeah, Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns don't know how to just lose like normal people. They have to be humiliated every year in the playoffs. It's like a ritual for them now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on up there in Phoenix.
Something
doesn't look right to me, Mo. Okay.
All right, it's almost as if a billionaire buying a team and just getting whatever player he wants as if it's NBA 2K doesn't work in real life. And that's why you should buy NBA 2K through the link in our bio, Mr. Matt Ishbia, instead of doing it in real life.
Yeah, something doesn't look right to me. Now, I'm not there. I don't know. But something doesn't look right. I don't like the body language of this group. You ever watch a team and you go,
They don't care. I want to shout out. I want to give a shout out here to Ross. Ross in our Discord server is the most hardcore Phoenix Suns fan, and he messaged at halfway through the game tonight, and he stayed up. BJ, he stays up for every Phoenix Suns game, the entire even preseason.
Shout out. This man lives
in Scotland, and he's messaged at halftime, and he said, "This team doesn't care, so why should I? I'm going to bed. Good night." I've never seen that before. This man is up until 5 a.m. every game, 82 games of the regular season. Once you've lost Ross, you've lost it all. Because they don't
something,
care. I've never
something
seen a team. Did you see Bradley Beal smirking after a timeout? Like, you're down 20, bro. Look like you actually care.
Something is not right. Something is not right. Now, again, I don't know. But I was just watching the body language. All right, you lose the game. You know, it's like the Lakers playing against Denver.
At least they look pissed off.
Yeah, but you know, okay, this team has my number. This Phoenix Suns, something doesn't look right. And, you know, eventually it'll come out. But right now, Mo, I just wanted to say that about Phoenix.
I won't tell everyone what it is yet. We'll save that for the offseason. Okay. Anyway, let's preview tonight's games. There's four games happening tonight. The first one, very early tip off, the Cleveland Cavaliers in Orlando against the Magic. Currently up 2-1. Do the Orlando Magic tie this one or the Cleveland go up 3-1?
Well, I'm going to say Cleveland because I picked Cleveland and I'm banking on the experience of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I'm going to say this. If the Orlando Magic win game 4, they're going to win the series.
I like that. And I picked Orlando to win the series, so I like that even more. Yeah, I think if they stick with Wendell Carter in their starting lineup, have Jonathan Isaac making an impact off the bench, they're going to win that game. The next one, the Pelicans and the OKC Thunder.
I'm going to go Thunder.
I think OKC go into New Orleans and steamroll them because New Orleans have been better on the road than they have at home.
Yeah,
they were talking about putting their players in hotels for the night to make them feel like it's a road game because they play better on the road. It's insane. Anyway, the Boston Celtics are in Miami to take on the Heat, series tied 1-1.
Like most, I shook off the loss in game 2. I shook it off. Great job. You know, you've heard it. Great job by the Heat. No one expected the Heat to do it. Eric Spoelstra, da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm not going to take any of that for granted. But I got my eye on these Celtics.
Miami are going to win this game.
In particular, Mo, there's one player that I want to focus in.
The Latvian.
I don't know what he's going to do in the playoffs. Now, Mo, but I do want to find out this because you find out about everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we say this all the time. Great players never have back-to-back bad games. Okay? I was absolutely positively sure that Luka was going to come back in game 2. I was just sure of it. Just like now I know he's going to come back in game 4, you know, provided he's not injured. And he's going to come out and just have a terrific game in game 4. Porzingis, I want to find out.
I don't think he's a great player. So,
well, he is a player that they're going to need to win a championship. He can't afford to play in back-to-back bad games and for this team to win a championship.
Yeah, that's not fair. Asking if his three-point shot is falling, he'll have a good stat line.
Scoring can't be your only contribution to a game on a championship caliber team.
Well, it's going to take the whole team to actually close out some three-point shooters this time.
I'm not gonna bail him out. We call him the unicorn, right? That's his name. He is the one that I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs when it gets thick over there, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do know he put together a terrific regular season. I do know he has talent. He shows flashes of, like, you go, this year, Mo, you show flashes where maybe there was a big three. You could say that.
Yeah, there was a lot of games. He was the second best player.
Okay. So I want to see, Mo, if he can make a contribution, because he can block shots, he can rebound, he can defend. He could switch. He shows you flashes now. But what I can't allow him to do is just to vanish during the course of a game or a series. I want to see if his presence is going to be felt. And I don't need him to shoot well. Because if they're going to win a championship, they're going to need him to be able to play consistent. If he's a 10, 12-point game, whatever he's going to be, but he can't vanish during the course of a game or a series. Because Uncle Al
is too old now.
Well, you know, we know he's going to have one game where he might have 25.
I need Xavier Tillman to come save us.
Yeah. Well, yes.
But speaking of disappearing, the Lakers going to disappear in game four.
I think
they're down 3-0.
I think it's over for the Lakers.
I hope you're right.
I think, you know what? If it's not over game four, it's over game five. It doesn't matter. The Denver Nuggets to me have shown you everything you need to see. Now it's just a matter of them just taking care of their business. I don't think there's anything the Lakers can do. I think the Laker Nation is ready to blame someone. I don't know who they're going to blame, but they're ready to blame. They're going to blame someone. And I mean, I don't understand it. Why Darvin Ham is.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But should I tell you what is over? This episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, because I need to get some sleep. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, we'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Get buckets.